Welcome to Service Accommodation Secrets with me, Sally Kemba. This is the podcast where you get the on-the-ground experience that we're living and breathing with our serviced accommodation units. So you get to share our hacks and tips, our mistakes, so you can learn from those and thrive on our success. Hi, and welcome to this episode of Serviced Accommodation Secrets. This time, it's all about pitching to agents. So if you're looking for a rent-to-rent property to operate as serviced accommodation, that's a really good way to start your business. And sometimes it can be quite a challenge to find that first property. And this really focuses on the new SA operator who hasn't got any rent-to-rents yet. Because I know that when Peter and I started in SA, we were doing training. We did a masterclass and then we did a 6-month mastermind as well. It seemed to feel like it was never going to happen. We were walking through treacle. So we knew all the benefits of serviced accommodation to both the landlord and the agent, as well as the amazing service that we were going to offer the guest. And we now do offer the guests. But it was a real challenge to find that first property. And yeah, walking through treacle is the definite analogy. We would feel like we weren't getting anywhere. So luckily for us, we had chosen to be mentored as well as the mastermind at Progressive. And so we had a mixture of mentors on the mastermind who gave us advice, but also on VIP with Progressive. We had two mentors there that helped us focus on this. So I thought it would be really useful, especially for guys who are just starting out but haven't managed to crack getting a rent-to-rent property. If you're looking to get one through an agent, this could be really helpful for you. And I've got some real tips for you, 5 main tips, but also there are lots of benefits. So I've got at least 10, the benefits of serviced accommodation to both the agent, principally the agent, but also that will help the landlord as well. Obviously, they're a team. So let's get started with those 5 points and I'll summarize them and then go into detail. So the first thing that we found to be the best thing is to speak to an agent in person about serviced accommodation and what you plan to do with the rent-to-rent property. Don't just talk to them about it on the phone. And that is a really good way to just have a really short conversation. So don't do it on the phone. The second thing is that it's really useful to role play what you're going to say to the agent. So that can help you just practice so that you're not scripted when you go into the agent. You're actually, you know, you come across as knowing more what you're talking about. You're not just trying to remember it because it's quite new, you know, and so it can be a bit awkward and you might sort of get a bit stuck when they raise objections. You might have challenges, but if you role played it, that can really help. And it can also be really good. So 3 is to practice in a different area than the real area that is your goldmine area for your essay. So try in a different town. And then you've got less pressure on you. You know, if you mess up all the agents in the town, it doesn't matter. It's fine because it's not your real area. So that's a good one we had from a mentor as well. And the next thing is be open and honest. So don't pretend you're going to do something you're not. They really need to know that you're going to be operating serviced accommodation in that property for compliance reasons, but also you want to be congruent, you want to be transparent. So they need to know what you're doing. And also know the benefits of operating serviced accommodation in the business for both sides. So don't feel that you're actually on the back foot. You know, you're offering something really valuable. It's not like they're holding all the power there. Sometimes agents can be a little bit less than keen on service accommodation. And really, largely, it's often because they don't know much about it or they might have had a bad experience with it. So what you're bringing to the party is a huge number of benefits. And as I said, there are at least 10 of those I'm going to go through. So that was your 5 points of helping you to pitch, and I'll go through all the benefits. And at the end, I'll go through some objections that you'll meet from the agents as well. So I think you'll find that really useful. So the first thing is, don't just say to them on the phone. So don't just ring up and say, hi, have you got any apartments? I want to operate serviced accommodation, or any long version of that. Make sure you've figured out what kind of property you're looking for, so that you know if, for example, two bed flats or one bed flats, let's call them apartments because it sounds great, doesn't it? So you know you're looking for, say, a two bedroom flat, and you don't want to just ring up and have the phone put down on you, because that person doesn't know you. And if they're uncertain of the strategy of serviced accommodation anyway, it's very easy for them to just say, oh no, it's not for me, we don't do that. And they might be busy in their work and everything. So, you know, random phone call wouldn't do it. What I would do instead is actually get onto a viewing, you know, looking at the right sort of apartment, if it's an apartment or a house that you could potentially operate SA in, and then actually talk to them about it when you're viewing the property, and then back at their office as well. And if you need to ring up to make that appointment, which you're either going to ring up or email, don't go into some tall story about why you want to look at the property that is available to let. You need to just be open and honest, as I said. So don't go into some story about how you need somewhere to rent or your great aunt is moving to the area. Just say you're looking at some apartments in the area and you'd like to see them. But honestly, the easiest thing that I found, and the thing that actually worked for us, is to answer an email reply form online. So you'll find the property perhaps on Rightmove or on the agent site, wherever you find it. And then you can just fill in that you want to see whichever properties they are. So they might be apartments. And especially if they're plural and you say what you're looking for, I'm looking for one apartment or three apartments, or, you know, however many you're looking for. Possibly start with one when you're new. But yeah, we started with three. But hey, these things happen. And what you can do is just fill that in, and then they'll either message you or they'll ring you about it just to make the appointment. So just keep it really straightforward. And when you see them, you can just explain to them what you're planning to do. So you will keep the apartment or house in really amazing condition, and you would be having people stay there on a corporate let, or say it's serviced accommodation, whichever way you want to do it. And, you know, just be completely honest about that and talk about how you're going to manage it. And just, you know, if you get objections, I'll help you with some of those at the end, but just talk to them about it. And if you are planning to have lots of Airbnb people and lots of booking.com people, don't say that you're not, you know, say that you're going to have those and you'll advertise on booking.com. And, you know, we did that. We said we will advertise on booking.com because that's a great way to get reviews and be visible. But our target market are corporate guests who work for companies and they're here on projects, or they've got a relocation to the area, or there is some training that they've come to, or perhaps they're working in a team in that area for a certain amount of time. You know, people travel from one office to another quite often, and we have a lot of head offices near us. So just explain to them gently that that's what you're doing. So you're not looking to do anything strange, and, you know, you'll be asked if people are going to have parties and all that sort of thing. We'll talk about that a bit later, but just explain to them what you're going to do. So we found that it worked really well to fill in that form. And I'll explain to you what happened when we first found our initial rent to rents, as that we were actually planning to look for properties with a sourcer, well, get the sourcer to get them for us, because we'd spent so long with agents and I found I would either say too much or not enough, or I'd say quite a lot and overwhelm them and then not pause or let them speak. And I did have some agents who weren't keen on the strategy anyway. They'd rather just have tenants in there. Some people were interested, but I did quite a lot of that in a practice area as well. And then when we came to our real area, what happened was that I'd filled in a form and requested to see some apartments, and two of them weren't any good. Two of them were possible, but in the block they were in, it turned out that there were three on the ground floor. And it was funny, really, because our mentor, Deborah at Progressive, had said, don't just rush into getting a sourcer. Just go and really focus this month on getting one SA unit rent to rent. Just focus on that. And so we were. That's what we were doing. And we managed to see these new builds, actually. They weren't finished at all. And I think they had about another month or so to go before they were finished at the time. But it was great because they were all on the ground floor right next door to each other. So although we had three, or we were looking to have three, they were right near each other. And so it means that you've got less logistical nightmare. It's all easier in terms of cleaning, laundry, all those kinds of things. So actually, it seemed like a good plan. But what we found was the agent wasn't wildly keen on serviced accommodation. She said, oh, we've done some company lets or corporate lets, but our company doesn't like serviced apartments or serviced accommodation. So we just explored this a little bit more, because what they would have liked was just one company staying there all the time, putting their own people in, because then they would know who was in there the whole time. But actually, we just had these quite relaxed conversations with this girl who was, you know, fairly experienced, but quite young. And she was a bit worried about what her superiors or supervisors would feel about it. So she went and checked with them. So as usual, we'd gone in dressed smartly and looking professional. And what I found, and Pete, my husband's good with this as well, is using silence quite a lot is good. So if you've explained what you're going to do and all the benefits of it, it's good then just to keep quiet. And what seemed to work well was the girl, the negotiator at the lettings agency, she kind of talked herself into the whole idea of us having these three on the ground floor, because it turned out, and this is quite a useful tip, that they were only looking for the tenant. So it was tenant find only on these particular properties. They weren't looking to manage them. And so they were literally just finding people and getting a fee for that from the freeholder, who was also the developer. So because we explained about what we were going to do and it was all just positive vibes and then kept quiet, she said, well, actually, these developers, they're really nice people. So it might be worth if we just explain to them about what you're thinking of doing, and just you could have a chat with them and you could all see what you think. So that's actually how we came to have our first three rent-to-rent serviced apartments and begin to develop a great relationship with these developers, because of that initial phone call. And then so the lettings agency did contact the developer, and my phone rang one day and I thought, oh my goodness, that is the developer. And so it was like make it or break it, slightly concerned. And it was great because I could explain all the benefits of what we were doing, and it was the managing director of the development business. And he was quite happy with that. And he had a few objections. How would we manage these different things if they occurred? And so I explained that. And then we had a meeting with him in person at the property. And that was supposed to be for half an hour, but ended up being for an hour and a half. And that was great because we got to know each other a bit, sort of shared values. And he just had a great feeling about us, he said, which was really nice. And the properties were awesome because they're new. And we made agreements, obviously, about who does what, maintenance and so forth. And we had to pay a fee to the letting agent for taking those on board. And then, you know, everything else was through the developer in that case. But if you have an agent who's managing, they'll still be in the picture. So you'd need to define that. But that's just quite a long note on point one, is don't just do it on the phone. So in order to get to the point where you can have really successful conversations, let's go to number two, which is role playing. So another of our mentors, Justin at Progressive, suggested because we weren't getting anywhere. And he was like, how, why? Practice this together and, you know, see how you get on. Because it may be that because we had all these documents we'd printed off and, you know, all the lists of benefits and everything, maybe we were sounding unnatural or rehearsed and that kind of thing. So he said, if you role play together, your pitch and everything, you'll be able to just have a chat about it, have conversations rather than, you know, a whole list that I would rattle off to the agent before when it wasn't going very well. So if you're just more chilled, but you know what you're talking about, then, you know, everyone's more relaxed. And I think they, you know, agents pick up on that and they can see that, you know, you're perhaps a bit more knowledgeable than other people, and they have confidence in you in that way. So role-playing either with somebody else who knows about serviced accommodation or just with a family member or friend can work really well because they don't know anything about it. So in that way, you'd have to win them round. So that would be a good thing to do as well. That was number two. And number three, this is a really good tip, which also worked really well. Justin recommended practicing in a different area. So going to pitch and look at properties, in our case, apartments, one or two bed in a different area. So we went to a different town. And so it kind of took the pressure off and meant that I wasn't worried about what I was saying so much because it wasn't our goldmine area. It wasn't where we'd settled on doing it. And so there wasn't a problem, you know, because you can feel a bit rejected and think, oh, what am I doing wrong? But actually, it's just more practice at that point and just getting to know what agents want to know, what kind of things disturb them, what kind of things make them feel happy. And so it's just really good to practice somewhere that it doesn't matter if you do mess it up. And if it goes right, you know, maybe you end up with a property there that you could research, but you're forming relationships anyway. And it's all about, you know, building that rapport. And the more practice you've got at building that rapport with people, then the better it will be. And, you know, it'll be easier when you get to your real area because you've done it lots of times before. Number four is, as I was mentioning, be open and honest that you're going to be operating serviced accommodation. Some people call it company lets or corporate lets, but it is basically fully serviced residential accommodation that's short stay. You know, sometimes people might get confused that you're talking about serviced offices, which is why I said residential there. And, you know, make sure that they appreciate you will be listed on booking.com because that's a really brilliant place to get reviews and other people can find you on there and then book directly, which happens with us quite a lot. Or they're thinking about booking on booking.com, but they don't understand certain aspects of the booking form. And so they'll phone us anyway. And at that point, if they want to, they can do it through booking.com, but quite often we'll convert that to a direct booking instead. I digress a little bit, but also if you're open and honest about what you're planning to do and, you know, you can give them the benefits as well, then they're going to be much happier than if you just pretend you're going to do a normal tenancy and then you operate SA and it turns out you're completely in violation of, say, the leasehold on a flat and so forth. You absolutely have to tell them and they absolutely have to tell their landlord as well because, you know, the landlord's mortgage and insurance needs to be suitable as well. So one of the benefits of going direct to developer or the freeholder, or which is both that we have, means that you cut that out. But if you are through an agent, through a landlord who owns a leasehold, that's fine. But everyone has to know what you're doing and be happy with it. And the lease has to allow it. So it absolutely has to be compliant because otherwise you're operating your business at risk. And the other thing is that you may have already helped other operators to set up. But if you haven't got photos of something like that, you haven't been involved with something like that, you can say, you know, you're part of a property community. If you've done training, like we were in a mastermind, so we'd explain that to people. We had mentors. I had lots of photos of the types of things that I was planning to do with the interiors of the serviced apartments and the kind of equipment we'd have, you know, fully equipped kitchen, fully serviced with linen and laundry done weekly or more and cleaning, you know, to the max. So they know all these things. and be able to see what you were planning. I wouldn't say that somebody else's units were yours personally, because I kind of think that's a bit of a slippery slope there. But if you have helped somebody to set up a property when they were starting out with a unit or expanding their existing business, that would be really good, because you could say, this is what it looks like and I was involved with that. And that might be a good thing to do actually as a step towards getting your own as well. You know, help with a bit of management there. So that's a really good thing to do. And, you know, if you're open and honest from the beginning, you've got nothing to hide. I think people really pick that up and, you know, they can feel confident that even if they don't know you, you aren't hiding anything. And so moving forward, you'll be able to work well with them. And just be congruent with who you are, why you're doing it, you know, what your whole vision is. So it's good if you can actually get back to the agent's office and chat about all those things, or, you know, they might go for coffee with you or not. I didn't manage to do anything like that, except with an agent that we got on really well with and went for lunch with. And actually, he's really interested in working in property in a broader sense. So it's great if you can help people that way too. And number five, so the benefits of operating a rent-to-rent property as SA are huge for everyone involved. And so don't be on the back foot. Don't feel like, you know, you're coming cap in hand and groveling, because you're offering a brilliant service and that's really going to help the landlord and it's really going to help the agent, and you're going to have a happy agent because you're going to have a happy landlord. And so don't feel that, you know, you should feel less because you're offering something fantastic. So the next thing is to go through the benefits. So there are lots of benefits to having a property managed as serviced accommodation. So thinking in terms of the agent would normally, number one, have to get small issues fixed on behalf of the landlord, but you can fix those things. So you can change light bulbs. You can do small things that say up to £50 or £100, whatever you feel happy with. You know, you can get emergencies dealt with and all those things. So they don't have to organise those. And you need emergencies fixed immediately, obviously, because otherwise, you know, you have unhappy guests. So that's a real benefit to them. That's one less thing for the agent and the landlord to pay for. And you'll liaise with the landlord depending on how the agent wants you to do it. So they can be the go-between and still do all that if that's what they prefer. But equally, if they're happy for you to still work with the landlord directly, then that means that they have less to do. But you would always say, we won't cut you out. You're part of the deal. And therefore, they've got less to do. They can be confident. They still get remunerated, but they don't have so much work to do. And if you deal direct with the landlord, they know that you're sorting it out and the landlord's going to be happy with his property. And so the agent will still get a fee, even though they're doing less work, and you can decide how that works. Because if they would normally fully manage the property and they don't have to do that, they've got a reduced workload because they're only dealing with you. You are the tenant, if you like, because you, whether it's a lease or a company let or a rental agreement that you have with them, whichever form it takes, then you are the single tenant, and that's all they have to worry about. So much reduced workload rather than lots of different people. And so also there are no voids. So whether you're doing it as a management company or whether you're doing guaranteed rent, you're there all the time, 12 months of the year. So there's no voids for either the agent or the landlord. And so you're going to have a really happy landlord in particular, because I guess the agent takes the money regardless. But, you know, you're going to have a continuity and the agent will retain the landlord as a customer as well. And plus, there's no tenant hassle for either the agent or the landlord. So the agent doesn't have to worry, like, every 6 months, is this person going to renew? Are they leaving? Because quite often people have the best intention of renting out a property for a really long time, but then something happens at their work. I don't know. They might get another opportunity in that job. They might get a new job. something can happen in their family. So with the best intentions, they might plan to stay, but actually 2 months later, they say, actually, we're going to have to leave. So they've got much less tenant hassles in terms of renewals, but also anything else that happens in terms of the property, you know, whether there are neighbour issues or whether there are, you know, different things, because you're dealing with that. You have that on board. So they've got an amazing property as well. So two situations here, just thinking, you've got either new properties that will look fantastic, but you'll furnish them. If you're doing it like we are with a guaranteed rent, we set them up, furnish them, keep them looking really stunning. And what's happened with us actually is our developers are creating more units on the same site and also elsewhere, but on the same site. They've phoned up a few times to say, oh, would it be possible for us to send the valuer in? Because we need to get the survey and valuation done on the properties we're building, and they'll be able to see from yours how amazing they can look because they're that happy. So they just check with us it's okay and there are no guests in there. And the surveyor will go along and have a look, so they can get their valuation for their new properties. So that's really great. So you've got that kind of thing. But also, you know, if you've got a tenant on an AST, a lot of people might be great, but you never know. You can get a tenant who doesn't look after the place. It might need refurbing, or, you know, it might be severely damaged. Some people have a lot of difficulty. And, you know, sometimes tenants can be fine. And then I know people in the community who've had tenants who've been in a property for a long time. And then suddenly something's happened in their life and they, well, destroy it, basically. So they haven't got that risk because they know that if you're operating a serviced accommodation business, it has to be like hotel standard, has to look fantastic all the time and be completely clean, because otherwise you can't operate your serviced accommodation business because nobody's going to want to stay there. So that's a massive benefit in terms of how well the place is maintained. But also it may be that the property is a bit tired and it may be that it needs doing up. So you could possibly do a JV with the landlord where you actually refurb the property, whether it's a coat of paint, whether it needs a bit more. And you could work out whether you were going to do guaranteed rent then or JV or manage for percentage of turnover, whatever it is you agree. But that can help to shift a property that's been on the market for a while because it needs something doing to it. So that's a really good selling point. And, you know, it's all the pain points of the agent that you are able to solve all these problems. And number eight, you are a professional, a property professional, business professional. You have a legal agreement with them, so they can be confident that you'll do what you say you're going to do and you're going to solve these problems, all these pain points for both them and the landlord. And if they've got a happy landlord, that means that life is much better for them. And as I said, they can retain his business or her business as well. And it means they don't have to worry about 6 monthly inspections. They can if they want. They feel, you know, they can feel free to come and have a look. But, you know, you are keeping it in really nice condition. So, as I said, it's more likely they'll want to use it as an example to their valuer. Also, there's the health and safety aspect. So we do the fire risk assessment to make sure the place is safe and also testing of smoke detectors. We don't have any gas but or solid fuel or anything. It's just electric. So if you have carbon monoxide tests that need to be done, you'd be doing those on behalf. Well, you have to do it for your guests, but for your business. And so they'll be done on behalf of both the agent and the landlord. So they don't have that cost because you're bearing that as well. And also, I think we might have got to number 11 now. Payments are regular. So they've got regular income from you and you can have a standing order or you can have direct debit, whatever it is, but they know you're going to be paying them because it's part of your business. So to stay in business, that's what you're going to be doing. When you actually meet them for the first time, I wouldn't go through like the numbers and things like that, by the way, just as a tip. You do that at a second meeting if you were, you know, looking to give them examples of how it would work. So that is your tip. So you fix small issues, you liaise with the landlord if That's what the agent wants. The agents still get a fee, so they're not cut out, but they have a reduced workload. So that was number three. So number four, they've got no voids for the landlord or the agent. So happy landlord. No tenant hassle at all. So renewals and all that, don't have to worry about, and anything else going on in the property, because they only have you. They don't have lots of different tenants coming in and out. They just have you. So that's number five. Number six, you keep the property in amazing condition because you have to for your business, and it looks fantastic, you know, and your guests want to stay there because they're not going to stay there if it doesn't look amazing. And number seven, if the property is a bit tired and needs refurbishing, then, you know, you can get that done with a JV, with a landlord, or whatever you decide. And therefore, it's rentable again. So everybody has income. You are a professional. So that's number eight. And it's your business to operate serviced accommodation. So you're there to solve problems, solve their pain points, and always do what you say you're going to do. They don't have to worry about inspections and tests because you're doing those instead. So number 10, you'll be doing your smoke detector tests, carbon monoxide tests, if they're, you know, part of the fuel source of your property needs those, and having a fire risk assessment done as well to make sure it's safe for as sleeping accommodation. You have to meet certain criteria. You're also going to be making regular payments because it's part of your business. You're a professional, so they don't have to worry about lots of different tenants with all their different rentals as the, you know, tenancy agreements expire. They don't have new people coming in with all different bank accounts. It's just you. And it's up to you what you agree. I should say we agreed a 3-year contract with a 1-year break clause. And that means after a year, we could test, you know, see whether the tests work, whether it was good to keep continuing. And that just means they've got a continuity for that time, not even just 6 months or a year, but beyond that, after the year, you know, they've got another couple of years, and possibly you could do it longer still. And so that really helps to, you know, just build confidence, and the relationship will grow, and they know they've got a guaranteed business there. So it works really well both ways. So the next thing that I will go to is the fact that you might get some objections from the agent. So the types of objections that you might get is that they might worry they'll be cut out of the agreement. But actually, if you state up front that they'll be included in it and they'll still get fees, and you decide between you which task is done by who, because the landlord still owns the property, they'll still have their building insurance. So say if the roof needed doing or there was a fire, that's still the landlord's responsibility. But you would have in writing and in your agreement, you would have what you were responsible for in terms of maintenance. So what are you actually paying for, and what are the limits on that? Must be in writing. So especially if you're not going direct to landlord and liaising direct to the landlord and the agent is involved in everything, you're going to have agreements in place for how fast they respond and what they actually are willing to do. Because you can still do emergency fixes and so forth. And so the next thing is that they might worry that it's subletting. And as long as it's allowed in a lease, it's fine for a property to be leased or rented out to a serviced accommodation operator. And yes, we do have guests, but it's not the same. And as long as all parties completely agree to it and know exactly what's going on, and as I say, the leasehold on a flat allows serviced accommodation, if the insurance that the landlord has allows serviced accommodation, and if the mortgage that the landlord has allows serviced accommodation, if it's not unencumbered, then that's absolutely fine. And you're not going to get sitting tenants in there because we have guests coming in, not tenants. And guests don't have the same rights as tenants. So we have an agreement with our guests. And so the guests sign that before they come to stay. They have to sign the T's and C's. And so you don't need to have anything like right to rent or anything like that, but they do have to provide their ID, their address, their photo ID that was included. They have to sign the T's and C's. We like to know where their next onward journey will take them as well. And so those are all the types of things that hotels would want to know about their guests as well. And so you're not going to get sitting tenants because they're not tenants. And so just really important to outline, you know, who's going to be staying there. So if they're worried about Airbnb guests staying or booking.com, then one of the things that they would be worried about is lots of people coming and going and not behaving well. So you can say, well, I have rules for people staying in my property. They're not allowed to have parties, for example. And one of the ways that you can make sure that doesn't happen is to have a 2-night minimum stay. So people are much less likely to book 2 nights for a 1-night party. And you can also do all your due diligence on a guest. So if their credit card fails, you chase that up, you make sure that you've got their address, it's a valid address, and you cancel bookings for guests that don't sign the T's and C's or their payments fail again. You can do that on booking.com. You mark the card as invalid and then the booking is cancelled. You have the opportunity to do that without any issues at all. And if you do have those checks on your guests, then that makes sure that you actually do cut out a large amount of issues. And we've managed to do that, and touch wood, we haven't had too many issues. We've had a few different things, like people from the oldest profession and that kind of thing. But mostly we do have well-behaved guests, and our corporate guests are always very well-behaved. And I think it just depends, you know, if you can assure your agent that you're doing everything you can to make sure that you have guests who are real people, you've checked their ID, they're not scamming, and you're going to make sure that you don't allow parties and that kind of thing at your property, then they're going to feel much more reassured that everything will be okay. But in the event of the property getting trashed, it would be your responsibility to make it in a full state of repair afterwards. So we've got insurance as well. So our own insurance for contents and for the fact that we operate serviced accommodation there. But if a guest damages the place, then it's up to us to redecorate, fix, and so forth. So it's still at the high standard we need for the next guest as well. And so, yeah, you need to cover who deals with repairs. So exactly have everything set out and their role, and be really clear about your safety so that you've got a fire risk assessment contact. You're going to get that done. So make sure you know what to do in terms of that, so it's inspected and so that it's all okay. And that you will check smoke detectors and be in line with the government guidelines, because there are quite comprehensive guidelines on that, and on your furniture standards as well. So we've got ours at Crib 5. So that's a high standard for commercial operations, because you're operating a business there. And the landlord will probably be happy. I'll go into more things about landlords later, but because the property is having a business run there, then they don't have to worry about Section 24 either. And so if they're happy that you're doing everything you can to look after the property, you look after your guests and make sure that you're not causing a nuisance to neighbours, you have systems in place, then most of the time, you know, agents are really happy with that, and they just want to make sure that they've done their due diligence on behalf of their landlord. And you can always meet the landlord. I would always suggest you do meet the landlord as well, just so that you know everybody's completely aware of what you're doing in the property. So that's quite a long one there, but lots to go through. And I think it's a good thing to focus on all the benefits that you're offering to the agents as well as the landlords, because you are offering something pretty superb. You know, if an investor has a property, or if there's a landlord who has had a property for quite a long time and they need to get it let, what better than serviced accommodation? Because also you know, if they perhaps wanted to have a management agreement with you, they'd be earning a lot more money than if it was a normal tenancy agreement as well. So there's a lot more benefits there. So I hope that's helpful for you and gets you started on finding your first rent-to-rent property. And so good luck with that. And if you've got any comments, do add them to our Facebook page and Facebook group, Serviced Accommodation Secrets. And I really look forward to seeing you next time.
Sharing the secrets of success.